Radio Linguistica this Tuesday afternoon. And the reason why we are together today is we want to hear about DGT field officers in EDL. We are very happy to welcome three field officers: Katia Castellani from Rome, Claudia Kroft from Vienna, Christoph Nalepa from Warsaw, and Marius Zanicki, the coordinator at the headquarters of DG Translation. Welcome to Radio Linguistica. Marius, you are the coordinator, so you're the first victim. You're the coordinator of the GT's field offices. And I've seen on the many web pages you produce and everything, the fact that you say that translation is all around us and helps us in every day. And even went as far as saying, all of you, no translation, no fun. Is that true?
Well, certainly where there is no translation, there is a lot of crying, I would say. Because whenever there is no translation provided, as you can imagine, there are many complaints. And, well, a very recent example, a few days before this year EDL, the French section of the European Association of Journalists, for example, sent a letter to the President of the European Commission, to Ursula von der Leyen, to criticize the excessive domination of English. And they used the example of some documents supporting the Asylum and Migration Pact. So whenever there is no translation or the translation is not delivered on time, there are complaints. And voices such as the one from France, well, reach us from many countries, actually. So this concerns the translation done by the European institutions. On the other hand, we might not be aware, but according to some research, over 75% of consumers prefer to buy products, for example, advertised in their own language. And some 60% of customers are saying that they are rarely or never buying products from English-only websites. So I'd say it's not like there is no translation. If there is no translation, there is no fun. Although this applies, for example, I don't know, for movies and series, because if there are no subtitles, many people would not watch them. But, you know, it applies to basically every area of our life, not just to the text produced by the European institutions, but to all other fields of our citizens' lives. And this is exactly why we thought that maybe we should give a boost to the translation profession and empower the translators, also in the light of you know, of the increasing importance of machine translation. And we decided that this year the campaign to promote the European Day of Languages would have an additional layer. Normally we try to make people aware of the benefits of multilingualism. This year we decided to promote the role of translation that is often taken for granted and maybe not so visible and not so appreciated sometimes.
So the challenge, really, as you said, the translation is more or less taken for granted. It's made invisible, and people do not realize, or people on the ground, I mean, in everyday circumstances, I suppose it can happen. You're a tourist, and you have an accident, and you have to go to the police, and so on and so forth. And you realize that, of course, you are in a very bad situation if you don't command the language, the local language. But at center, of course, it's much more difficult. I mean, the center, I mean, Brussels, Luxembourg, we tend to forget about these these issues, and professionals or policymakers sometimes go too fast. They think it's enough to speak, to be heard. And that's a bit naive. So it's a question of raising awareness on the role of translation. And you've chosen to focus on EDL, the Open Day of Languages, which is on the 26th of September every year. But you actually started a little bit ahead of that. Everything started, I believe, for DGT on the 6th of September with a virtual campaign on the social media to illustrate the role of translation with stories, videos, interviews, daily posts in the national language, or using embedded machine translation. Now, could you give us a little bit of, I don't know, Marius or the others, give us a little bit of feedback on how this campaign went, how it was. I mean, you're basically, how many field officers for 500, almost 500 million citizens? How many field officers?
I think right now we are 26. I would need to check. In every member state, there is one, except, of course, for Belgium and Luxembourg, because these are the two headquarters countries. So the true heroes of the campaign, both the social media campaign and our events all over Europe, are our linguistic officers, our field officers in the member states. The whole EDL story for this year, which was a very difficult and specific year, as we know, started actually much earlier, when we started first thinking about what kind of events we want to organize in the member states. And then, of course, we also thought of our social media campaign. This was a challenge because we wanted to add this translation promotion layer to the promotion of languages, to the traditional promotion of languages. But then we came up with an idea of having three thematic blogs on our social media. We wanted to have original content from our field officers. So it's that the content that you could see on our social media was basically coming from our field officers. And I hope that our colleagues can tell us a bit more about it in a minute. And we divided this content into three categories where we thought translation plays a crucial role. And we wanted to show it to our public that without translation, it would be difficult to cope with certain situations, or without translation, there would be not so much possible in areas such as health, for example. And, you know, COVID was all over the place, it still is. So we definitely wanted to address this issue in the light of translation, how important it is for COVID as regards, you know, new terms, new expressions, new way of, you know, talking about disease and this phenomenon. And then we had another blog devoted to culture and entertainment. And then we also had another week devoted to everyday life and how translation plays a role there. And then, Catherine, one important thing is that with this campaign, like with EDL, normally we are trying to reach like everybody, an average citizen. With the campaign Discover Translation, we actually wanted to reach people from outside the language industry, not really linguists, but citizens who, or also businesses, who might not be aware of all these important benefits of translation in some areas of our life. Well, maybe my colleagues can tell us more about how it went for them, or how it was for them to create the posts for this campaign, because in the end we received, and you can still see them if you go to the Translating for Europe Facebook page, or to our Instagram, or to Twitter, you can see these short films, videos, posts devoted to the three topics that I just mentioned. And
Yeah,
well, it's our field
thanks.
office who came up with the content. So maybe we should give the floor to the field offices to tell
And of
us how
course,
it was for
you
them to create this
maybe you got
content.
feedback. Maybe you got feedback. That would be also very interesting because I'm aware that the few field offices were very, very busy in putting these so diverse social media. Did you get any feedback or stories? How did you collect the stories? I mean,
As for Italy, we decided to produce three videos. So we looked for testimonials for the three topics which Marius just mentioned. And so, for instance, we had a translator specializing in translating the dialogues of movies and TV series because you know that in Italy we dub the films and TV series. So we have translators specializing in this type of adaptation, I should say, because it's not just a question of translating. You need to take into account how long the mouth of the actor moves, for instance. And then we had a translator specializing in localization of software and apps for our telephones. And then we had a school of Italian for foreign people. And they, during the COVID crisis, they produced a couple of leaflets with instructions for people in 14 different languages. And it was the students of the school who were involved in the project and translated the leaflets. So they were there to, tell us a little bit how they felt when they were involved in this project. And in fact, as far as I could see, from the likes and the views, this was the video which, among our three, was the most successful. The last time I had a look, it had more than 1,000 views. So, in the end, it was kind of an effort for us to find the testimonials, to, record the videos and then edit them and everything. But in the end, it was worth it, I guess.
The kids were actually made turn into translators for Italian. That's very good. And what about Warsaw or Vienna?
Regarding feedback, I think one of the videos that I made last minute, I have to say, it was a very last minute idea, turned out to be quite successful too. I think it had more than 1,500 views and many, many likes. And it is about localization, so translation within a language family. It seems that it's a new topic for a lot of people who are not inside the industry. I interviewed a teacher from Innsbruck University who advises publishers in Germany that want to publish their language teaching books and books for teaching children how to read in Austria and adapt it to the Austrian German. And yeah, that seems to have striking a chord with people who saw the video. And I'm happy about that because it was an idea that came to our minds really one day before the deadline. But it's often like that, I think, with such things. If you have an idea just out of the blue that turns out to be quite successful.
So it's a sensitive relationship that people have to their own language. That's what I gather.
Yes, I think it's interesting to see that people actually work within a language and try to adapt to a language family or to a language version. And it's something that people can relate to a lot because they also realize every day that there's a difference between the the German spoken in Germany or Austria, or the French spoken in Belgium and France. So yeah, I think localization is an interesting topic for a lot of people.
Yes.
Well, as for me, this campaign was kind of personal. And to tell you the truth, it is one of, for me as a translator for a couple of years, it has been one of my favorite and most expected campaigns ever. Because I think the clue and the key is the name visibility. Being a translator basically means to be invisible. The less visible you are, the better you have done the job. And that also means that that the users of our translations, the customers, very often tend to forget that translators really exist. Like Mariusz mentioned, when you want to watch a movie on Netflix or you want to access web-based contents or an EU legal act, it's just a click away. You do it automatically. So for many people, translation is something that is there. And translators' work somehow goes unnoticed. So I think this campaign was a great opportunity to show that translation is a real part of our life, that it matters. Therefore, my submissions were very personal. First one was about the language itself, because I noticed that in Polish, COVID infected the language apart from people. We speak a kind of a different language now. We use new words. There is a lot of military terms, for example, in the context of COVID. That's what I wanted to focus on. The other article was about translation as an adventure, as a journey, that it is, apart from being useful, it's also fun and an adventure. And there was another input that turned out to be very popular with our viewers about the usefulness of translation in the times of COVID. Anyway, I really, really appreciated the idea of this visibility campaign, and I hope we will have a follow-up that that somehow we will educate our colleagues, apart from the translation business and other users, that translation is so important.
Can I ask something? Because I mean, we've all been on that difficulty of making translation visible, as you say. But did you come across people saying, well, in any case, you know, we should all speak common language, a lingua franca, English, so you know, that's what Europe is about. So what's the point of doing translation? Or people saying, well, in the end, we all have machine translation, so translation will be done by machines, you know, it will be automatic, so we don't need real people. Did you come across this sort of, or did you get a chance to interact on these very common misconceptions among many?
No. Well, let me say a word or two about that. Indeed, one of my focus points in my EDL actions in recent years has been explaining and highlighting that English is not enough. It's a kind of a basis that we all have to communicate on a basic level. But language is so much more than pure communication, buying, selling, and the stuff. It's about emotions. It's about culture. And me being a Polish and Katia, for instance, being Italian, if we speak English when communicating, okay, we can convey the message, but our cultures are put aside. And it's not really the point of communication. It's a difficult matter, really. But this is something I really try to explain and focus on.
And do people react? I mean, do they understand that, or it's a very
thin... Let me give you an example. It is a project. It just occurred to me, a project we did in the representation. It was not even a DGT project. It was not even devised as a language-related project. It was called Małe Kroki, which translates to small steps. And the idea was to encourage Polish citizens to write short stories about what they miss about Europe with borders closed. We received a huge number of these reports, like more than 200. And when I read them, what struck me very strongly was that although the stories were about different things, about sorrow, about the inability of meeting a person whom you love, about inability of tasting something that you like, about the absence of certain things, one common thread that ran across all these stories was the language. And I realized I recalled that all these experiences of Europe could be possible because these people spoke Italian, Greek, Portuguese, Swedish, Czech, and they could experience the cultures of those countries. They could meet people. They became friends with those people, sometimes very close friends. And it showed so much, so strongly, that language is everywhere. And it's not only English. It's language as a as means of expressing emotions, of expressing thoughts. It's really part of our everyday life. It's not only about business, economy, trade, as we often think. It's much more.
Let me ask something to be clear, perhaps, what you say. People were actually establishing, making contacts in the same language across borders or within the same borders from different regions. I missed out on that.
No. They made friends. Polish people made friends with Germans, with Italians, with the Czech, and they missed many things about those different countries. But they could communicate with their friends, and what they experienced really mattered for them because the cultures of different countries were translated to them through a language, particular languages. I don't know if I'm making myself clear enough, but it's really striking for me to see how important language is for our everyday life.
Reaching out to the others, it's part of our DNA, really. We tend to forget about that. And any other feedback from the other field officers or Marius, if you had some sort of feedback from different places? As in previous years, I would like this time perhaps to have a general overview of what has happened in September and October. It's something like 80 events run by the language officers or field officers in the member states in September and October, and you cooperated with DGCOM and DGEAC. My question is, how did you do that? I mean, it seems beyond feasible. And did you also get in touch or did you get the opportunity to speak with DGCOM and DGEAC and trying to convey your understanding of the role of language and being able to reach out to people across languages?
Maybe I will just start saying that this cooperation with DigiEAC in particular, and then with DigiCom and with the representations is crucial to the success of our events. And well, DigiEAC, of course, shares with us the passion for languages, and of course they understand very well the importance of multilingualism. The same actually goes for the representations and DigiCom. So we have actually the same or similar goals. Plus, I think one interesting point that the field offices may I think confirm is that promoting languages, promoting cultures, promoting multilingualism, and this year also promoting translation is actually a very good way of promoting the EU and the European values in general. Normally, through these events, we do not only promote languages or multilingualism, we promote the European idea. And this is kind of at the core of our activities. And this is common for all DGs involved, like for DigiEAC or for DigiCom. We have the ideas, we normally come to them and we try to cooperate with them, or we ask them for help with the promotion or with the organization of the events. We actually receive some money from DigiEAC to finance the events that then are organized by our field officers who also come up with all these events. Last year we had 140 events, which was a record number of events our field officers organized. This year, of course, the number was a bit lower due, of course, to the crisis. Many events that were planned to take place physically had to be either canceled totally or transformed into online events. So we had a lot of online activities, webinars, quizzes, contests, and so on and so forth. And well, I'd like to give the floor then to Claudia, Katia, and Krzysztof to tell us maybe more how it works on the ground, the cooperation with the representations with DigiCom when it comes to the organization and promotion of our events and
Okay.
our
In a few
campaign.
minutes, but
Okay, can I start?
yes.
Indeed, the month of September is a highlight of our activities as field officers because this is the month where the project that we have been preparing for months are actually released. So it's when I hear September, the things that come to my mind is lots of effort, troubleshooting, millions of emails, but also a lot of fun when you succeed in implementing a project. And well, how do we manage that? Certainly, we are just single person units. Field officers, so our capabilities are naturally limited, and we have to rely on a number of partners in our respective countries. I mean, associations, universities, schools, culture institutes, libraries, or what have you, any entities interested in promotion of language. So our job is basically to coordinate their projects, to propose our ideas, to co-organize and to do things together with a common objective of promoting language, multilingualism and translation. So these partners are like the core, like the basis of what's happening in September. We are trying to make those events as diverse as possible, as interesting as possible, as attractive as possible, and to reach as many people as possible. That's the idea. Naturally, our audience is young. first because young people tend to participate in these kinds of events. They are encouraged to do so by teachers, parents, and so on. Second, those young people are interesting for us because they are at their learning stage, and those events have the potential of affecting their future life, careers, and so on. But
thank you. We're
trying to be as open as possible.
Yes. Thank you, Christoph. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I'd like to thank you very much and to conclude on the fact that when you communicate languages, you communicate Europe very naturally. I mean, people are trying to reach out to the others and to Europe as well. Thank you very, very much. I have to stop. We have gone a little bit beyond the time, but it was very good to have this feedback. Don't hesitate to be back on Radio Linguistica, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.